Well, Decatur City, you guys look amazing today, by the way. Thanks for choosing to come and spend part of your Sunday with us. My name is Billy. If we've never met before, I'm lead pastor here, and I'm excited about where we're headed today. We've been in a series called My Story, My Song, which, as always, all of the messages that we do are available on our website. You can find them in most podcast platforms. But go back and check out this series we've been in called My Story, My Song. Andy Stanley, our senior pastor, led us through the first 3 weeks. And then last week, I actually took the stage and talked about my favorite song from 1876, which I only know one song from 1876, but still, it's an amazing song, a song that if you grew up in church, you might have learned about. So I talked a little about how that story has integrated my life so much, and it was really, really impactful for me. And then today, we have a real pleasure, and we're gonna turn our sermon into a little bit more of a discussion today. And I've invited a couple of friends up here that you might have just seen on stage, and they're familiar faces to you, and Natasha Williams and BJ Mathis, and then Allison Rogers-Nash is also here as well. And I've asked them to come and share a little bit about what it means to lead like they do through worship, because that can be a very mystical and foreign thing to some of us. But also too, I've asked them along the way to bring a song to the table and tell us why this song matters so much. What part of your life has this song resonated with? Because that really is the whole purpose of why we do worship together. So we're in for a treat today. We're gonna navigate this together. But before we do that, I'm such a sucker for people's life stories, and I've limited myself to three questions. But I would love for them to get to know you a little bit more. I would love for each of you to hit these three questions. Where'd you grow up? Okay. The question of, would you grow up in a family of faith? Was church a very familiar thing to you? And then lastly, where does this musical stuff come from? I was the third kid in my family, and they were like, yeah, we're done paying for instruments and lessons. You can buy your own piano lessons if you want to be musical. So I have no musical bone in my whole body, okay? So this is such a mystery to me where this comes from. So Natasha, hit those three questions. Where are you from, family of faith, and then how did you become musical?
Okay, I am from Akron, Ohio.
We have
any Ohio people?
Oh yeah, woo! Shout out Akron.
Come on, yeah.
Look at that, all those Ohio folks,
yes.
Come on.
So yeah, from Akron, Ohio. I did grow up in a faith-based family.
Yeah.
So much so that I was at church probably like 6 days out of the week.
Okay, that's a lot.
And I pretty much feel like I was born on a pew too,
yeah,
as well.
Which was awkward for people around you.
Yeah. And also, yes, music was a part of my life from the very beginning. My mom is a worship leader and was the choir director at the church that I grew up in. And so I was listening to music in her womb, and I have been engulfed in music ever since.
Yeah, DNA, sounds mm-hmm. like. All right, BJ.
Yeah, story is very similar. I grew up in Winder, Georgia.
Winder, shout out.
I met somebody from Winder Borough High School back there.
Oh, no.
Anybody else?
Yeah.
Thank you.
We had a 9 o'clock Winder person. We had one sympathy clap for Winder in the room. But still, it's fine. Ohio folks.
It's all good.
Ohio, Winder. We're hitting all the regions here.
It's blowing up now. But I did grow up in church, and my family was similar to Natasha. They were all musicians. My parents were in like Southern gospel bands back in the day. They had the little church van, would drive out to sing with other groups. And so I just grew up in and around music. I was in diapers all the way through. And then it was very much, I lived at church. That was just basically my entire life.
It's amazing. Awesome.
Apparently there's Jewish opera singers in my family history somewhere.
Okay, it goes
so
way back.
In blood.
Yeah. All right. Love it.
Yeah, so I am from Dahlonega, Georgia.
No. Okay. Anybody paying for gold in Dahlonega? Anybody?
It's panel? Very unexpected.
Okay. There you go. We got some gold diggers in the back. There you go.
Yeah, and my story is, I mean, it's completely opposite of theirs in the sense that it's the exact same.
Yeah.
And I also grew
I'm
up...
I'm seeing a theme here.
Yeah. I grew up in a family of faith. In fact, some of that family of faith is right here on stage with my brother back here on keys.
There's Phil.
And yeah. So, I was just always around it. My parents were worship leaders, and I grew up watching my brother. He's been at North Point for, gosh, playing here for like 100 years, I think.
Yeah.
Something like that. No,
coming
maybe
up
like,
on a big anniversary.
Yeah, big 100 anniversary.
100 years at North Point. It's been around for 30 years.
Yeah, it's been cool. So like, this was always my dream, was to be on a North Point stage someday, and I just pinch myself every day that I get to be here. So
I love it. Thanks for sharing that. Yeah. Part of the reason I have him up here, because I want you to know they're real people too. They are real people. But also, do they bring so much to the table? And this is kind of what this question, next question is. I would love for you to talk a little bit about why do we stand and sing? Why do we have musical worship in church? I mean, I feel like ever since the early church, this has been a part, as far as I can tell, history tells us, this has been part of what gatherings of people did. I mean, because you can do a lot of things with your time, but why in your impression or your understanding do we do this? So, Natasha, why don't you go?
So, for me, it's kind of like an icebreaker. I know sometimes when I come into trying to get into the presence of God, I'm not always wanting to be there. And so playing music or singing through songs has always been a way for me to just kind of like let my inhibitions go and let my walls down. And it's really just been a way for me to just connect in the most vulnerable way. And so I think that's why we do it as a church. We do it at the very beginning because it's just a way for us to just come in and just let all of our stuff go.
Yeah, it's good. BJ, what do you think?
Yeah, it's so easy to just kind of say like we do it because it's what we've always done, but also it is what we've always done. You know, like you said, Billy, I'm a nerd, so I like kind of going back in history some, and I think about the early church, like their services didn't look like this. There wasn't a stage and lights, but music was such a big part for them because a lot of them were illiterate, and so the songs kind of served as anthems for them as a community, and in ways even when Christians were persecuted, they used these songs to kind of continue the message on. We wouldn't have the message like we do today if not for those songs. But also, I mean, you all know this, like music does something to you. It breaks down your walls in a way, and vulnerability, and your emotions, and something goes on in you when we sing. And also when we're singing together these truths, it connects the body. I mean, it connects us. We've all experienced that. I think of like, even like armies, the army at boot camp, like running, they have songs they sing and they unite around, and Atlanta United Games, it does that. And for us around these truths, around faith and God, it really does something to us to not only remind us of the message and with melodies that we remember as, you know, on Tuesday when we don't remember the sermon, we remember the song and the melody, but also the community that we experience together around these songs that, you know, because I know the stories of the people sitting left and right of me and I came to church with, and when they're singing a song about like pleading with God for a breakthrough or believing for something or experiencing joy in a song, I know the lives they lead to, and that does something in me to see them singing that and me singing for them.
Yeah, that's so good. Al, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of a nerd too, where I really like to watch cult documentaries. I don't know if anybody else is like that.
We got a shout out for cult documentaries. There we go, everybody. Dahlonega, yeah. Binder, Akron, Ohio, and cult documentaries. We're just covering, we're touching
groups.
All the bases today. Shout out.
But I know a lot of times when people, or sometimes critiquing people at church or the church in general, they talk about how music is manipulative. And I know that word has such a negative connotation. Obviously, it can be used as a very negative tool. But I think, too, music is kind of meant to be manipulative. It's meant to kind of tug on our hearts and tug on our emotions. And I think going throughout the week where you've kind of built up this wall of toughness, you know, having to just survive throughout the week, and then you get here and it kind of manipulates that wall and makes it a little softer, I think, so that you can come in and feel something that maybe you've been feeling too much throughout the week, and you've built up this wall, but now it's kind of breaking it down a little bit. And so I know for me, I need to be manipulated sometimes in that way. Again, not in a negative way, but just in a way that changes and softens me.
Yeah, it is such a good, I mean, it's such a unique word, because manipulation ability is just molding something into something that it's not. And to do it in the best way possible, to say, God, come in and let music, which, you know, it's a crazy thought that God could have created a world without music. and but did, and now uses it in a way to mold and make and into your word manipulate our hearts into better places, from pessimism to optimism, and to from despair to hope and to healing, and to have that and to be able to come in and say, we're going to create a space. Because it is funny that this, for some of us, and I think I'm included in this, is that this might, you know, every Sunday be the only 9 minutes. I get it, two services, but 9 minutes in your life, your waking moments where something doesn't have the risk of beeping or someone pulling on your leg and saying, I need this, or somebody calling you, or there being a distraction. It's one of the only 9 minutes in your week where you, in theory, are completely distraction-free from the outside in, so that God might do something to your heart on the way in, or from the inside out. I want to push a little bit more on this question, then I want to get to your songs that you brought to the table today and hear the stories behind them. But I want you to talk to the person, because in the room that might say, you know what, that part of the service for me, that musical stand and sing, not my favorite part. You know, it's like, I'm not wired that way. There's people in the room that might say, you know, I think I've been manipulated negatively before by the church or by somebody through that season, or people that feel like it's too emotional for me. Talk to that person a little bit and encourage them, and maybe give a little bit of advice how they might lean into this time a little bit more. So talk to that person that doesn't feel very connective that way. Yeah, so go ahead and talk.
I personally have been in a lot of different like church environments where, you know, there's the charismatic church, there's the, you know, you stand but you don't lift your hands, or everybody's singing out, or everyone's on the floor. But I do think that worship is a very personal experience, and I don't think that there should be any sort of like label on how you do it. Mm-hmm. And so I know sometimes if you come into a space and you're like, this is not how I emote, it can get kind of intimidating to show up. And so I say, you know, come as you are, come, you know, ready to just kind of receive whatever it is that the moment has for you.
Yeah.
And don't really worry about what's going on around you, and just allow, you know, the presence of God to kind of just wash over you. And I do think there's a beauty in worshiping as a unified body, because if you don't necessarily know how to emote, the person next to you, kind of how what you were talking about before, you know, they may be going through something and you know that. And so then you can find joy in that and you can rejoice with them. And so I definitely think, you know, don't think I have to come a certain way. Mm-hmm. Just be here.
Yeah, that's good. BJ, what do you say?
Yeah, I agree with that. A couple of things. Like I think of my dad when I think of that question of somebody who, my dad, he was a worship leader and was a worship pastor at the church growing up. And he's not that demonstrative of a person. Like, he's very quiet, reserved. At Thanksgiving dinner, he always goes last. He always gives up his seat. He's kind of in the corner. He always goes to the back den where nobody is. And even when he shows up, if I'm singing, he'll show up and he just stands there with his arm, and I know it's very meaningful for him if he ever does lift a hand, but I know my dad, like, and so I know what's going on in him, and the music and the words and the things going on, like, that there's something going on in him, and him showing up as he is, and that is worship for him, and there's more that's going on, and I know that, you know, if you're new too, like, it can be intimidating. Like, we grew up in church. We've done this our entire life. It's comfortable. It's just, we did it because it's just what we've done forever. And you may be new to this, and that's okay. And God invites that. And just like Natasha said, just to show up as you are and be authentic and whatever that looks like. And also try something. And not be afraid to do that. Like, we're all here trying. We try things vocally and mess up all the time on stages, like in the moment. And try something, and then pay attention to what goes on in your heart. And because that's the real thing. Scripture says that God, he doesn't look at the outward appearance. He looks at the heart. And that's really what it's about. And paying attention to that, I truly believe that God will do something in you. Just trying something.
Yeah, I agree. And the thing that's cool, I think, about specifically about singing corporately is everybody can sing. You know, like even if you're not a singer, you can still sing for the most part, you know? And I think there's something that's really powerful about that, especially if you feel a little bit uncomfortable. Billy, I know I heard you say this the other day, that that's why we learn the ABCs in a song form, is because it helps us remember. So when we sing in these services, I think too, like BJ said, when we go out, we remember what we sang, even if we don't remember anything else. We kind of remember a catchy melody or something, but in turn, that plants that seed of truth that we also sang about. And I think that that's really important. And two, just try it. I think there's something really powerful about worship, but at the same time, it's just a song. You know, it's not gonna hurt you, but it might do a lot of good in your life.
Yeah, that's so good. Well, as I alluded to, I asked each of these folks to bring a song to the table, and not just bring a song to the table and share a little bit of it, sing a little bit for us, but also to tell us why this matters to you. Because again, if all of worship works well, we find music, we find lyrics that embed and intersect with our lives. That's the goal. The goal isn't just to come in here and perform. God doesn't need us to perform and cheer him back up and those kind of things. But it's to find something that speaks to us in the reality of our life. And so I've asked them to bring a part of a song to us, or one of our songs to us, and explain why. So BJ, I want you to start. Tell us, what's the song that you brought, and then why did this embed in your heart and your mind so much during that season?
Well, if you've been here at all, you've probably heard us sing it. It's called Firm Foundation. When this song came out, it was 2021, and I had a lot going on in my life. Like, obviously COVID and the pandemic, and my work life kind of got in flux, and there's a lot of uncertainty there and a lot of identity tied up in what I did. But also, we were pregnant with our second kid, and my mental health was struggling. And the ground that I was standing on in my life and my finances and my relationship, it felt shaky. And then this song came out, and the more I sang it, the more there's just these lines that became cornerstones for me. Like, there's a line in there that says that I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus. He's the rock on which I stand. Like, my life did not look like a firm foundation to stand on, but I have never been more glad that that's not what I build my life on. That when I look back over the course of my life and moments that have felt shaky and continue to, that I'm glad that my hope isn't in who's in office. My hope isn't in like what our economy looks like or what career I have, or it isn't in my weight. It isn't in all of these things that we look to all the time, but I've never been more glad that I've put my faith in Jesus, because he's never let me down, and he never has. And even when I've not been steady, when I've not been faithful, when I have doubted, when I have wrestled, or my life has been shaky, he never has been. And when I pay attention to him, he's there. And when I look back, he always has been. And so that's where my confidence comes from. And you may not know this, but we rehearse in the week. We sing these songs all the time. And I know like the average church person only comes maybe like once or twice a month, but we sing these songs hundreds of times. But this is just one that still doesn't get old, even, you know, 4 or 5 years now of singing it. And it's because of this, because I think back to, and he's faithful through generations. Like, not only that my dad was a worship leader and that I am, but also like when I see my son in Wambaland, and that message is going on, and those are the words being sang. That's why this song has just been so much for me in these last few years. So,
can you remind us a little bit of this song?
Christ is my firm foundation. He's the I stand when everything around me is shaking. I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus.
such a powerful reminder that so many worship songs, and honestly, I think most of the letters in the New Testament are not written about seasons where everything's going well. Most of our worship songs address seasons when something's shaky, something's not quite right, and are asking us to speak truth back in over the trouble that we feel a lot of times. And so, Natasha, tell us a little about this song that you brought when I asked you to bring something that intersected with your life in a powerful way seasonally. What was it for you?
So the song that came to mind for me is called Still Holy by Maverick City. Music has been a huge part of my life, so much so that I was doing it full time for most of my adult life. And that meant, you know, traveling the world as a touring background vocalist. I'm a songwriter, and so I've done a lot of things just around music. And when the pandemic happened, that changed a lot of stuff for me. It affected the amount of opportunities that I had and that were coming my way. I wasn't on the road as much. And so I'm like, what are you gonna do? You gotta make money, girl. And so I prayed and I was like, okay, God, I gotta pivot. I gotta figure out a way to make this work. And so, you know, finances did come still around music, but I started to have this distaste for it. It no longer brought me the joy, the happiness, because I felt this pressure attached to it. It's like, I gotta do this. I gotta make money. I gotta do this. And so in that prayer time, I was able to come up with God another passion, and that was for technology. And so for the last several years, I dove like headfirst into this new career, this new path. I learned how to code. I'm now a full stack developer. And slowly but surely, because I told you before, I had this distaste for music. I was like, I break up with you, music. We don't go together anymore. And so now I find that I'm able to still lead with that joy again. And mind you, I was still leading worship at the time. And so I'm showing up on Sundays feeling this pressure in my heart. And I'm like, okay, God, like, I do believe these truths, but there's so much going on. There's so much uncertainty around all of this that it's hard for me to be here and be present. And so Still Holy, I would just play that song over and over and over again while I'm, you know, learning all of this information and still showing up and feeling like, do I really believe this? Like, is it showing up to be the same in my life? And so the words of Still Holy, it talks about how God is still on the throne, no matter what the circumstance, no matter if there's fire, if you're in a valley. And it just was a reminder to me that you just gotta constantly look back to these truths.
That's so good. Can you sing a little bit?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. My mind is made up with no distractions. I worship you and you alone. I won't bow in reverence before an idol. I'll join and sing the angel song. You're still holy above it all, above it all. You're still sovereign. You never left your throne, no. You're still holy above it all, above it all. You're still sovereign. You never left your throne. Lord, your reign be lifted higher. Lord, your reign even in the fire. Lord, your reign be lifted higher. Lord, your reign.
Too. Yeah, I love that line that's, you know, I won't bow before any other idol. Because when things do get shaky, that's what threatens us. You know, I'm going to turn my attention from, okay, well, try that, giving up on that, try to, and even as life churns through to come and to sing these truths, which I'm like, some days, you know, the best you can do is come into church and just read along. You know, I'm not going to sing. I'm just going to stand and read along and let it work in you and process you. And that's so good. And it's such a powerful reminder. Thank you, Natasha. Allison, I forgot to introduce two other family members that Allison brought, and I feel like I'd be remiss if I didn't get you to introduce these two. Can you introduce the two family members that you brought as well?
Yeah, I've got Gia over here and Trey over here.
There you go. Yeah, that's
They've
right.
They've been kicking around, actually, so I keep fidgeting because I'm trying to get them to be quiet and stop distracting.
Yeah, yeah, they're ready for lunch, you know. Yeah, that's a pretty good gig if you ride around. It's like to hear Allison's voice all day long in utero and out of utero will be a gift for them. Allison, talk a little bit about the song that you brought and why it was foundational and pivotal for you in that season of your life.
Yeah, the song that I brought today is called I've Witnessed It by Passion. And the line that always sticks out to me whenever I sing this song or hear the song is, I've got stories I'll live to tell. And before the 9:15, I had never shared this before publicly with anybody. But I think it's important to know that being on stage or being a Christian or, you know, being a volunteer or what have you, doesn't exempt you from going through things. Obviously, we all know that, but I think sometimes it still is a shock to us, especially when we do go through stuff. Me and my brother, we lost our mom about 12 years ago. And I really did not process it very well. I knew the thing to do was to go to counseling and therapy, and I just chose not to. I got very obstinate and found myself in the middle of three pretty nasty bouts of addiction, which, you know, is so unoriginal. Like, oh, wow, a musician getting addicted to drugs and alcohol? Wow. So, so cool. But It hit me, and it's something that I chose to turn to. Like you were saying, you know, you've got these idols, and sometimes it doesn't look quite so black and white as to say an idol, but it does become that. And it's something that I was choosing to do to mask the pain that I was going through and not dealing with. And so, yeah, I ended up finding myself in these situations where I was just in extreme danger. And a lot of times that I should have died for a number of reasons. And I think we tend to make really dumb decisions, and God is with us in those dumb decisions, but I think sometimes we still have to face those consequences. And I just ended up getting hit one after another by the consequences of my own actions, and it really took a toll on me. But in that time of my life, I was still singing. And I was still just hoping that what I was singing was true. I was hoping that who I was singing to and who I was singing about was true and was solid and was firm, a firm foundation. And every Sunday I would kind of come in and read the words on the screen and just hope that they were the truth. And I think through that, God was with me the entire time, and singing those songs brought him closer to me, but more importantly, it brought me closer to him, and kind of was able to keep me grounded and keep me centered. And what I'm not saying is to go and do whatever you want because God's got you. although he does, but trust me when I say you don't want to face the consequences of those dumb actions. So when I first heard this song and I started singing through, I've Got Stories I'll Live to Tell, I was like, oh my gosh, I do. I am alive and I'm able to tell these stories. And I felt like when I was going through it, God was telling me that he was going to use that story one day, which I couldn't even imagine being on the other side of it. And so the fact that I'm here and able to talk to you guys about it is a huge showing of God's faithfulness and how his promises never fail. And I'm singing these words like, you're good and I've witnessed it, and you save and I've witnessed it, and you heal and I've witnessed it. And I'm like, that's my life. That's not just words on the screen. That's my life that I'm singing about. And it's your life. Even if you're in the middle of going through it, or if you feel right now like you're too far gone, or you've done too much, or you're too guilty, or you've got too much shame, there's no such thing. God is right there with you, and he's saving you every day. He's saving you every minute, and he is healing, and he is loving you through it all. And I think the more that we grasp that, the more that he is honored, but also honors us with his presence.
Yeah. Allison, your words are so good, and you've already started the last question that I have for us, because I wanted to ask you guys, what, just from the seat of a pastor, I know you're a worship leader, but the seat of a pastor, talk to the person here we're going to sing that song, all of us together. We're going to finish with that song that you talked about. But before we do that, just real quickly, what would you say to the person that is struggling, that is, you know, rightly skeptical, or is figuring out their faith, or is just being dragged by life right now? Give them a quick word and then we'll sing together and finish up.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, there were so many times when I would disqualify myself because of the shame that I was feeling. I have a whole tattoo that says, in another language, but basically says, live without shame. And I would see it every day and then do things that I was ashamed of. And I just kept disqualifying myself. And God never did. He never did disqualify me. And so if that's you, if you feel, again, like you've done too much, or you are too much, or you've been through too much, or too much has happened to you, there's no such thing. God is right there with you, and he is forever faithful. And the more times I sing through Firm Foundation and Still Holy, and I've witnessed it, the more I'm convinced of that.
Yeah. BJ, give him a word.
Yeah. skeptical, struggling, doubting. Yeah, me too. I've gone through these songs and went to Bible college and theologically ripped them apart, and like all the lights and the emotions, and I've been there. I've been singing these songs and have been there, and I get that. And I think the thing that for me that I come back to is something that Andy says, and he says, pay attention to the tension. And what I would find in these words is a tension going on inside. That was the thing I was ignoring, the intellectual things and the skepticism. Those were masks for pain that I was feeling. And when I went to the painful place, and every time that's there, when I choose to go there and like engage my heart with the lyrics of these songs, engage my heart and not be afraid of that. Because there's a million reasons to disqualify. There's a million reasons to write it off and be skeptical. And I get it. But when I pay attention to that and allow that part to open up, every single time on the other side of it, there's something good for me, something that goes on that makes my life better, something that goes on in me that brings me more peace and joy and all the things that he promises. And so if you're in the room and that's you, like, pay attention to that and try to engage your heart in the words and see if there's something that goes on in you, because I truly believe there's something on the other side of that skepticism that is good for you, that will do something good to you, because I truly believe that God is good.
Yeah. question.
So I think if you're a person struggling and having doubts in your faith, I say just show up afraid. A lot of times we attach shame, like Allison was talking about. We attach shame to things that we may have done or things we think about that may actually put us in a place that may pull us further away from God. But I think, and I know, I'm not gonna say I think, I know without a shadow of a doubt that God is like, just come to me as you are. Don't try to fix yourself before you get here. Let me do that. Let me take all of your burdens, all of your cares, all of your worries, all of your doubts, all of your fears, all of your inhibitions, all of your insecurities. Let me take all of those things and let me take it away from you so you don't have to worry about it anymore. You don't have to walk around with all this baggage on you. I'm reminded of an image of, you know, this lady carrying a bag, like so many bags, to where she's like bent over. But the reality of it is we should be looking up. So let God come in and take those bags off of you so you don't have to carry them anymore. And so that then we shift our eyes upward to him, and he's able to fill us with all of his beautiful glory and presence.
That's good. That's good, you guys. It's been an honor to be up here with you. Let me pray for us, and then we're going to sing this song that Allison is talking about together, and then we'll head out the door. So let's pray together. God, thank you for this life that you've created, a world that includes music. And thank you that you've inspired people through the ages to take the music that you've created and inject truth, words, and anchors for us in this world that can seem so fraught with storm so many days. God, I just ask wherever we're coming from today that we might see times of worship, musical connection, whether it be here on Sunday mornings or in a car on the road or just in the privacy of our own home, God, that we might see the words that you've given to us in our lives as anthems of truth, as reminders to bring us back on center, to turn away from the idols, Father, but also that they are avenues to allow us to say, I've witnessed your work in my life and I've been through the storms, but I found ultimately a hope that I was hoping for would be true, and now I can say that I am. So Father, help us to be communal, help us to be encouraging to one another. Thank you for these leaders, thank you for the authenticity of this church, and thank you for Jesus, that he cares so much for us, that he came into this world to make a way for us to go forward together. We'll pray all this in Jesus' name, amen.
Well, if you would stand as we sing this together, I would encourage you to find that tension and sit with it. Celebrate the times that he's been with us and faithful. Let's sing this together.
When I was lost and all alone, your presence was where I found home. You were there and you're here right now. Faithfulness, I've seen you breathe life with it, so I've witnessed it. God, you're constant, I've witnessed it. And I'm confident that I'll see it again and again. You love and I've witnessed it. God, you heal and I've witnessed it. You save and I've witnessed it. And I'm confident I'll see it again and again. You're good. So I